Hi, friends. We are here today, Sarah Daigle, and we have another wonderful topic to discuss. Today, we are talking about stories we tell ourselves. And most importantly, I think, Sarah, what we're going to talk through today is really how we can be in denial, but how we can reframe our thoughts and the story that we tell ourselves to have a much better outcome. So, why don't you kick us off with telling us, when we go through something difficult, how denial can really shape the story we tell ourselves in our mind that can be very different than the reality that we're actually experiencing?
This topic is so near to my heart because I did this myself for a lot of years. Just kind of pushed things that I didn't know how to deal with to the background of my life so that I could keep functioning in the way that I thought I was supposed to function. And just recently, it really hit home because somebody else was talking to me about how her brain feels so far from reality that she actually cannot exercise wisdom in just the normal daily things of life, and it scares her. And I didn't just look at her and say, well, just start th thinking things that are true. Like, that's what God tells us to do, to think on things that are true and honest and just and pure. In fact, I kind of did the opposite. I encouraged her to come out of denial because this woman has been through an incredible amount of stuff, and I could so relate to her and the way her brain kind of went dormant a little bit. And so I told her to take a notepad and to write down everything difficult, everything that ate at her, everything that was super, super hard. And there were some big, nasty things. And I said, write it down, like one, two, three, all the way up to, from A to Z. And then look at that. Write that thing down, look at it, and accept it and pray about it. Like, this is what's really going on. Because when we don't do that, what happens is we force our brains into an alternative mode of reality, and that is not healthy. We numb our, in some ways, we numb our intellect even, because we are living in something that's not even true. We're conjuring up a story. And so that story then becomes the voice in our head, and it cannot be real, and we cannot navigate difficult things unless we're willing to face them head on and call them exactly what they are. And then we sit with God in that thing, in that space, in that difficult space. And then God enters that space. But if we're in a valley and we pretend that we're on a mountain, God can't ever enter that valley with us. Like, we have to go deep, and sometimes we have to go dark because that's where God's love actually shines the brightest. And it feels counterproductive, but it's really the only way out, to where we will come out of that and then be able to speak a better story over ourselves and in our minds.
Yeah, that, like, as you're talking, I think it makes me think of, that fight, flight, freeze, scenario that our body and our brains will do when we're dealing with something. And those responses are natural responses that are meant to help us be able to endure the moment. And I think the hard part is when we stay in any one of those stages for long periods of time, we're no longer trying to endure the moment. Like you said, we're in denial of what it is that we're actually going through. And so while we may think we're just in survival mode, well, we're really not. We're making it even worse on ourselves because we're not giving our minds, our bodies, our spirit, our souls, everything, every parts of us, we're not giving ourselves the opportunity to be able to press in and lean in on whatever we're going through to be able to see what the outcome will be, to even just experience God's presence in the middle of all of that. I think that's one of the hard parts of this, where it's because it can be so painful, people will create this alternate reality.
Yes.
But in reality, they're then causing themselves even more pain. So can you tell us a little bit about how denial affects our brain specifically?
Yes, I think basically it numbs our brains, but it also It also can make us angry. It can make us depressed. It can make us numb. Because of my own personality, it was more of a numbing of my brain to where, you know, other people had to come in and help me deal with reality. But for some people, it turns them into angry people. And so, like, a word of encouragement here for anyone who's around an angry person. Anger is just a symptom of something much deeper. Like, if you have a person who has to control every little thing or flies off the handle over a lot, what you have is a person who has deep internal either sorrow or grief. And because of that, maybe they have more of a type A leadership personality. They shift into anger. And then you have other people who numb reality with addictions. And then you have other people who turn into like a robot mode, and they do everything they're supposed to do. You know, they don't fly off the handle with anger. They don't, you know, try substances, but they kind of turn numb and they do their life in robot mode where the joy of the Lord is definitely minimal, you know? And so I think basically denying reality rather than helping us heal from what's going on and navigate it healthily, it really just suppresses it. And whatever is suppressed ends up coming out in some other form. And what people often do is they target the symptoms. Okay, so here we have a raging alcoholic, or we have a drug addict, or we have someone with major anger issues, and they're destroying their relationships and their homes. But what we need to do is go deeper and go, yes, you know, the person needs to repent of all these things, but also, what are they feeling that causes so much anger? None of us want to be angry. None of us want to be numb. And I really even believe for addicts, few people want to be addicts, you know? And so, but even as Christian moms, and you and I are both Christian moms, even as Christian moms, just in our own lives, like, we replay stories in our head. And it might not always be denial. It might be stories of our culture, you know, voices we hear from the culture around us. It might be stories from our upbringing. Let's say you're raised Muslim, I'm raised Amish. That is going to deeply affect what plays in our head. And so it's so important to look past what we feel and what we think and to actually seek God for what is actually true. And I always say the truth will set us free, but that is not just the truth of salvation. It's the truth about the ugly things in your life. It's the truth about the way you were raised. It's the truth about everything hard too. And when you own the hard, you really can embrace grace on a whole nother level. And when you own your upbringing, you really can look at the word of God with fresh eyes and read it and say, gosh, does the Bible really say that? You know, just last night, my little boy, he had a play date with some friends, and I had a really quiet house, and I just looked up Breaking the Silence. It's an Amish documentary. And I looked it up and I couldn't stop watching it. I watched three episodes, and it was all about how the Amish are who they are because they are told certain things. And it settles in their minds, and they really truly believe that if they don't follow the rules in the church, they're going to hell, you know? And so here you have an ex-Amish girl who might be by nature a lot more conscientious than a lot of people because of how I was raised. And then you have another, you know, Christian mom who is fighting against a feministic attitude because she was raised with an atheist mom, you know? And it's all, sometimes we think it's all our own sin nature. And yes, it can be, but it's also, once we're brave enough to look at the storyline of our lives and go, wow, I'm really way off target here. And then we can walk into liberty and we can be set free and we can start thinking things that are true. And it hits so many levels, Jessica. It, you know, as women, we have just a ton of pressure on us. And I'm just here to say our bodies are okay just the way they are. I I mean, I'm not talking about accepting obesity or being unhealthy, overindulging in the wrong kinds of food, but you and I are both moms. We try to stay healthy. And I want moms to know they don't have to have the body of a 20-year-old. They don't have to get a boob job, you know, $7,000 to insert plastic just so they look better. It's kind of sad.
Well, yeah, and it's following the narrative of the culture and the society, right? You need to look a certain way. You need to behave a certain way. You need to think a certain way. And so then one of the main things as Christians that we know is how we think as Christians is countercultural, because everything we believe as Christians is the exact opposite of what culture tells us to believe. Starting
That's
with
very
love,
yeah.
right? Starting with love, but then we struggle as women and as humans in trying to fit in so much or play the part that we've been given to play based on our cultural upbringing or where we live, you know, currently. And we forget, like we play into the narrative knowing that that narrative is not our narrative. And so it's like this double-edged sword, right? Where you're trying to manage all of it. And it's like, no, this is not how we were meant to live, first and foremost. Yes, everything I think and believe is going to be opposite to what culture thinks and believes, because even just how I love my neighbor, right? Culture is all about me, what's in it for me.
Yes.
Everything in scripture is about the other person, the neighbor, your loved one, the person, the poor person. Just, I mean, example after example after example. And I think where we get lost sometimes, because I grew up in the church and I had a Pentecostal upbringing. And I would even say that upbringing is really hard, because it's if you've had any kind of legalistic upbringing, you're constantly battling and fighting the stories in your head of, are you doing enough? Are you doing the right thing? But should you be doing this? And so now you're fighting the narrative constantly. And it's remembering almost like, I don't have to fight the narrative if I let God write my narrative, you know, if I'm really spending my time in scripture. Are we going to get the thoughts? Absolutely. But how long we entertain the thoughts, I think, will matter depending on, like you said, how free we are based on our relationship with God.
Yes. And I think the more we accept the love of God, the less we tune into the culture around us. Because like you said, what God speaks over us is so countercultural on every level. Like God literally says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the persecuted. That means we speak into culture and we get heat for it. Like that happened to me the other day on social media, and I felt happy about it. I could handle it just fine. And it used to just put me in an absolute stress. But this time I was like, this is actually pretty cool that I'm getting heat for this, because I so firmly believe what the word of God teaches. And I so believe that our society is going downhill because of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just one of those, like, I feel like we all battle this. And so first and foremost, I think part of the denial that we live in is thinking we're the only one struggling with something, right? That's lie number one, right? We all struggle with it. It's why the Lord gave us literally a manual called the Bible to help us in everything that we do. And if you're really reading the Bible, you're seeing that everybody in the Bible is dealing with the same things that we dealt with. Maybe a little bit different because their culture and their time was a little different, but in the essence of it, the emotions, just every part of it is the same as what we deal with today. And so when we first can acknowledge that we are not alone, we're not the only ones dealing with it. We're not the first person to deal with it. We're not the last person to deal with it, right? When we can acknowledge that, then we could stop feeling so guilty for being less than, or for not measuring up, or for whatever the case may be. Because I think with denial comes a lot of guilt and then shame, right? They're just all intertwined together. But then like you said, if we can rewire our brains and rewire ourselves to think differently, speak to ourselves. Sometimes like David in Psalms, how many times that he had to say, "Oh, my soul, praise the Lord." He had to talk to himself, right? So sometimes yes. Talk to ourselves and say, "No, you are more than this," and speak that same scripture over us. Then I think it's when we find some healing in it. So
mm-hmm.
speak into how that makes a difference for the voices our children were here and the next generation. Because even for those that may not have children, they have someone that's looking up to them. They have someone that is paying attention to how they deal with life, how they talk about life, how they talk about themselves. So just talk about how changing the narrative can change what our children hear.
Yeah, and I have to think, I'm going to bring an example. For me, like with my daughters, I have two beautiful daughters, and I very much want them to know that there are good men in the world and that they can find one someday. Now, how I can foster that in my own head is a refusal of bitterness because of my own betrayal. I can refuse to adopt the mindset that men are bad, men are awful, I'm never going to trust a guy again. And I can switch from that mindset into forgiveness and peace with the Lord, and then moving into a solid belief that there are still good men in the world. And then I can have a whole different attitude. Whether I'm with somebody or not, the attitude I have as a woman towards men really matters, not just for my daughters, but for my own health as a woman and for all of my friends. And so what I do with that, okay, so obviously, I have trust issues, obviously. And so it's very easy for me to project, 15 years of pretty intense, difficult stuff, to project that onto somebody in front of me as if it was the same person. Now, how unfair is that? But we all know people do it. We call it PTSD. We call it triggers. We call it, the aftermath of trauma. But when you really think about it, it's really, really unfair. And so what I do when I notice that that's happening, first of all, I have a really honest conversation. This could happen with a friend. This could happen with anyone, really. Let's say you do something someday that reminds me of something someone else has done, mm-hmm. even though you're completely innocent what you're doing, you did nothing wrong. What can happen in the person who's been hurt is it can bring them right back to where controlling the brain towards the new person, towards the friend, is almost impossible. So let's say you do something, it triggers me, and the only thing my brain wants to think is, oh my gosh, Jessica is just like that person. Like, it's gonna happen all over again. And then I withdraw. I don't open myself up to friendship. I don't, I put on you what maybe another friend did in the past. And I have wonderful friends, and very, very few of my friends have even hurt me because they're just really great people. But I'm using that as an example. Women do this in dating, and, men get attacked for things they've never done because a woman has never rewritten the story in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And so what a woman in that position needs to do, or what my daughters, might need to do in the future, is literally, like you said, talk to yourself. Number one, have an honest conversation with the person they're dating, and then talk to themselves and say, this is not the same person. This is not the same scenario. Don't be afraid to talk it out. Like, ask questions and get to the bottom of it, get clarity, and then believe them. Like, there is the actual choice to believe when everything in you wants to curl up in a tight ball of self-protection and fear. Believe what the other person's saying. And as you do that, you relax your brain and you open yourself up to good experiences, pleasant experiences. And as you have those experiences, your brain forms new neurological pathways, and it's the brain's physical ability to create a new way of thinking. Like our brain, we think, I used to think of my brain as more of a spiritual thing or a soulish thing, but it's actually an organ. And it can and it does recreate pathways of thinking. So let's say, a girl with trust issues, you know, she can have that conversation with her boyfriend. She can get to the bottom of why she's feeling this way. She can choose to believe his answer regardless of how she feels. And then she can move into relationship where there's open communication, there's trust being built, there's love, and her brain will physically change. And then her life changes. The possibilities for a beautiful future change. Everything changes if we're willing to take our mind captive and bring our thoughts under control. But I've never done anything harder because the fear can be so gripping, but I've also never done anything more rewarding. Like to go through that process and come into something and come to the other side is such a beautiful thing. It's like walking out of a cage. And a whole new world of love and belonging and acceptance and authenticity and vulnerability opens up to you that you would never have had. But it starts with the mother. And this is what daughters need to be getting from their mothers. We need to be telling ourselves true stories, because whatever story we're telling ourselves is literally the voice our children hear. And I think that's a huge responsibility for us to be healthy, to get healthy, and to do the hard work.
Yeah. And I mean, even like I'm a mom of boys, and I would say it's really important that we don't live out narratives and we don't look for proof of what we're thinking, right? So I have a friend of mine.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Subconsciously. Yeah. We do it subconsciously. We look for proof.
All the time. And so for her example is, she struggles with rejection.
Okay.
So she has to fight really hard because she'll walk into a place and immediately look for proof that people are rejecting her.
Yes. It's terrible.
And so she's done, like, we have a very good relationship. And even one time I remember she came to me and she said, "Are we fine?" And I was like, "Are we? I don't know what's wrong. What's going on? Like, we're fine."
Why? Because you sent short, practical texts without a million emojis.
Well, and because I think it was one day we worked together as well. And like, I just had a million things on my mind and I didn't like stop like I normally stop. But then she was so good about it because she said, "Just first, I had to tell myself if there was a problem, she would tell me. Like, she is not going to mince her words, right? Like, I have to remember who the person is that I'm dealing with, right?"
Yeah.
But then she just came and she was like, she asked, and I was like, "No, what? What happened? What did I do? I'm sorry if I made it seem like whatever, right?" And she, and that's it. Immediately, it cut right there. Whereas she could have left, been like, "Jess is mad at me. She was short with me." She could have created this whole narrative in her that didn't exist, and then been dealing at home with all these feelings and just the hurt and just everything. When in reality, it was just, I had a lot on my mind and I was really overwhelmed and I just didn't hang out and talk the way I normally do, you know? And so then she was able to support me.
Yeah.
And say, "And that's totally okay that you didn't do that." You know, like, you don't have to, like, she freed me from that weight as well. And so I think that's why it's so important for us to be mindful that if we're looking for proof of something, we will find it. Now, I do want to make one side note in this conversation. We are talking about patterns that we're dealing with, that we've dealt with in the past, that we have not faced the reality of where we are and what that healing needs to look like. We are not talking about somebody who may be in the scenario where you were 15 years ago and someone that's not listening to themselves and everything in them is screaming to say something's wrong and we're not paying attention to it, right? It's making sure that there's a clear distinction here, because I don't want a woman to hear this wrong. If they're in a place where they're noticing patterns and other people are also acknowledging that there are some patterns about someone else in their life, that is a whole different conversation than someone who has made it through something and is now looking to move forward, but is struggling with the reality of what their healing needs. And so I just wanted to kind of give that little distinction there. Cause I mean, it can be hard either which way, and our instincts are there to protect us, but there's a difference between our feelings and our instincts. You know, like we tend to think they're one and the same, and our instincts are things that'll happen naturally. Our feelings are what we're sitting in, and when we're telling ourselves stories over and over about things. And so this has been a really, really great conversation. Friends, if you would like to hear more or read more, because Sarah loves to blog and just, you know, want to stay connected or updated with her, you can visit her website, Sarah, Sara-Daigle, Daigle, .org, or you can follow her on Facebook and Instagram, and you can stay connected that way. We'll be back with you soon. But until then, thank you for joining us. Bye.